Title of this message is, you gotta start somewhere. You gotta, I didn't write got to, gotta, G-O-T-T-A, gotta start somewhere, right? Does that have any significance to the message? Absolutely not. I just thought I'd say it like that, right? Gotta start somewhere, okay? Like I said, since I've been watching some of these YouTube ministries online, there's been a lot of things that will open your eyes. But you've got to sow the time, man. I'm telling you, you got to sow time and take the time to listen to ministry when you're not at church. Amen? You've got to take your time and learn from people. And when I've been watching these, I'm like, man, I did not know that. I don't care how old you are, how young you are, if you're a baby Christian or an old Christian, been around, mature, eating the sirloin, you know, biting on the Word of God, you know, tongue talking, all that stuff. I don't care how good you are at knowing the Word of God or how many scriptures you got memorized. You're always going to be starting over on something. Because there's new revelation all the time. And I'm like watching this, I'm like, wow, I didn't know we could do that. I'd never heard it read, I'd never heard that scripture read that way. So even if we don't understand all of God, we have to start somewhere. It was just a phrase that just popped into my head yesterday. I'm cleaning the mud off my boots, right? Well, thank God for mud, right? I ain't never complained about rain, amen? Not in Texas. I don't care if it washes the whole pasture away. We ain't complaining. Like, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, we got rain. I got green things coming up in the ground now, and I didn't have those, you know, a week ago. Even if we don't understand giving, tongues, the glory of God and what that means and the manifestation of it and the interpretation of tongues and the fivefold ministry and prophecy and all of that stuff, we have to start somewhere. You can't be in the mindset that says, well, I'm too far behind now. There's no use in trying. My friends, God has been around for centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries and centuries and millions and millions and millions of years. He is always open for a new start. There are people who need new starts. There are people who have been mature in the Word of God who need a new start. Because there is so much we don't know, and us not practicing those things is keeping us from going to the next level. But you have to desire the character of God. Because if you don't desire His character and His way of doing things, you'll never want to go to the next level. You'll want to stay right where, because it's comfortable in your flesh, right? Your flesh always says, hey, just stay right here. That's too much. We can't do that. Just stay right here. It's comfortable here. The ice cream tastes good here. The Dr. Pepper's really yummy. Just stay right there. Don't go any farther. Don't go up. Don't try a new thing. Don't try all that as he's taking a drink right now. I don't know what you're drinking, but you know. It's good, isn't it? It is good, amen. Sweet tea, oh my gosh, I can't tell you. I don't know how people leave Texas. Because when you leave Texas, the sweet tea don't taste near as good. It just don't. So questions you might ask yourself, do I pray correctly? You think I haven't asked myself that question? You know, when you go into the prayer room, you'll hear people, all these ministers that have been around for years, you see them on TV, and they're always telling you, you know, do this, do this, do this. And then one minister will tell you do it this way, and one minister will tell you do it this way, and then you get confused on which way is the right way. And then you get into the prayer closet, and you're like, God, I've done this. I'm like, God, I hope I'm doing this right. You know why? Because I have a heart to learn to be different, to be better. I don't want to keep doing it the same old way, getting the same old results. I want new things. So, you know, do I pray correctly? Am I giving to the right ministry? Am I serving in my church correctly? Am I in the right spot in my church? Let me tell you, I wasn't always a pastor. You know where Corey started me? Youth pastor. I started out as a youth pastor. And you know what? I cleaned some toilets in my day too. You don't always start at the top. But I started there. Of course, you know my testimony, I can preach that all day long. He knew something was in me that I didn't know I had. But he started me there. So if you're asking yourself those questions of, you know, am I praying correctly? You know, am I serving correctly? Am I doing this right? Is shaking hands when people are coming in, is that my ministry? Or is, you know, an usher, is that part of my ministry? Let me tell you something. You got to start somewhere. Don't worry about which way you're going. Don't try to figure it all out. Don't try to get ahead of God, because God might want you to clean a few toilets before he puts you up here. Amen? It'll show you, you know, just how human you really are. Because if you go straight to the top sometimes people can't. That's why people that win the lottery go broke. They don't know how to handle it, right? They couldn't manage making $1,000 a month, and then they get all of a sudden, wham, get a whole lot of money, and they lose it all. Why? Because they went straight to the top. Some people can handle it, some people can't. And it's the responsibility of every single person to figure out your own walk. Nobody else knows it better than the Holy Ghost, and it's your responsibility to spend time with God and learn exactly where he wants you to go and what kind of shoes to wear and what part of church you're supposed to serve in. Nobody knows it better than him. You have to start somewhere. There's going to be a lot of questions. Trust me, when I came to this church and Corey's preaching on giving and all that, I'd never heard that before. So I just, you know, I was like, well, that guy sounds right. He sounds like he knows what he's talking about, you know. So I just started giving. And then it's just gradually progressed. And I could testimony about all. I'm sure most of y'all can too, but I can really tell you some good ones. Because it works. I didn't understand all of it, but I'm telling you, it works. Okay, I'm going to go to a few scriptures, and I'm going to go ahead and give them to you so you can go find them. Isaiah, let's start in 55, then we'll go to 43. Also, Luke 5 and Job 8. So if you want to go to those ahead of time, you can, so you don't have to flip around, or you can not flip at all. I don't care. Whatever you want to do. Amen? Whatever you want to do. So again, all of this is about starting somewhere. I'm going to throw a lot of stuff at you, and there might be a lot of old religion in us that we need to get out. Amen? Because God does not deal with religion. Amen. He don't care where you came from. He don't care what church you associated with or what religion they had at the front door. All he cares about is his ways of doing things. And you have to master that. Quit mastering religion. Master the relationship, and you'll master this. Amen. Isaiah 55, starting verse 6. I'm going to read the Amplified. He said, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him for salvation while he is near." Okay, there's times when God is like where you can really feel him, and then there's times when you don't really feel him. But does that mean he's not there? Absolutely not. He is always right there. Now, there's times when he's there more, and you start to sense him a little bit more, and you know the hair stands up on your back of your neck, and all of a sudden you feel like you got shot with a hot shot, with them cattle prods, and you just feel this warmness go all over you. Then there's times where you're like walking around, you feel like an ice cube, you know, and you're like, God, you know, are you really here? You know, are you here around me? I mean, I'm asking you, you know, answer my question. You know, oh, I heard something really good the other day. Billy Brim said this. Let me try to tell you exactly how she said it. She said, "I may not know what to do next, but I know what not to do." God might not be up there just talking to you all the time. God, you're not going to wake up all the time and just feel God all over you, like, you know, like all this warmness all over you. But there's one thing you do know, and that's what not to do. You know why? Because God gave you a conscience. You have the ability to discern right from wrong. Is this good or evil? You have that. Even wicked people have that in them. Even murderers have that. They know. There's some people that murdered, and they said, "I don't know what came over me. You know, if you've listened to the testimonies of some of those people that killed people, some of them will say, "I don't know what came over me." Well, I know what came over them. It was Satan. It was a devil. It was a murderous devil. It was a murderous spirit. And it wasn't in their nature to do that, but something came on them. And now they got to live with the consequences of it. You may not know what to do next, but you know what not to do. You've got to get a hold of that. God's not going to be talking to you all the time. Sometimes he's going to be like, just be patient. Just be quiet for a little bit. Just a second. Hold on. Hold on now. Wait a minute. Hold on. And he's going to expect you to just walk. You know, you remember that song we were just singing that Joni pointed out? When our faith eventually becomes our sight. Faith is believing for something you can't see. And then eventually when you see it, you don't have to faith for it anymore. You can faith for something else. We've got to be working towards those things. You got to work your faith. Get out there and do it. Work your faith, work your faith, work your faith until you see it. And then when you see it, you can believe for something else. The times are coming, guys, where all these things that you're believing for are going to start manifesting daily. Manifesting quickly. Quicker and quicker and quicker. It's not going to, no longer going to be years, months, weeks. It's going to be daily. You better be ready for it, because don't let it overwhelm you, because this is how God operates. God's up there waiting to do this. He's been waiting to do this for years. He's been wanting to just bless, 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 and just pour it out. The Holy Spirit is going to be poured out on all flesh. And we get to be number one, baby. We're the generals. We're the ones. They're going to see it manifest. And all the lost are going to watch with amazement. And they're going to be salvations like you ain't never seen. Seek, seek, seek. Seek God while he is near. And when you feel him pouring his spirit out upon you, and you get that warm sensation come over you, get quiet and listen. Amen. Quit talking. Verse 7. He says, let the wicked leave behind his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion and mercy on you. God is telling us to put our blinkers on, get in the turn lane, and go the opposite direction. Get out of the religion and turn and go the other direction. You know how hard that was for some of us? I'm still trying to get rid of some of that stuff. Sometimes something will pop into my head, and I'm like, that's not really the relationship part. That's the religion part. And I gotta get that out of me and set it over here and walk away from it. Verse 8, he says, for my thoughts, this is so good, are not your thoughts, nor are your ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Stop using your thoughts and ways to do God's will. Quit doing it the old way. The only way to get to the next level is to get rid of all the old ways of doing things. You don't have to explain to God, I wrote this down because we do this sometimes, you don't have to explain to God your thoughts and ways. He knows all of them and knows they don't work. Quit trying to explain to God why you're doing what you're doing. That's why he's trying to get you in the turn lane so that you can turn around and go the other direction. Ever done that before? Well, God, I've always done it like this, and it always worked. And he's like, yeah, but I'm trying to get you to a new level on the ladder. It always works when you're satisfied with the same results. It's always going to work. Think about that. When you do things over and over the same way, then you're always satisfied with the results, because the results have always came. Am I right? But if you want to go to a new level of doing things and seeing new things, then you're going to have to try new things. Like all that tongue-talking stuff, right? Amen? All that praying in the Holy Ghost stuff and listening for God and spending hours in the prayer closet, or, you know, even 5 minutes. Sometimes all you need is five. But sometimes you might need an hour. Verse 10. He says, for as the rain and snow comes down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth, making it bear and sprout and providing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes out of my mouth. It will not return unto me void. And the Amplified says, useless without result, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. Words have to be sent. They're sent. Oh, man, and that newer, I'm just giving away all of the Autumn Assembly stuff. The neurosurgeon got up there, and he said they've done results on praying in the Holy Ghost. Now listen to this. This might just rock your world, baby. You'll be playing electric guitar before the night's over. It's going to rock your world. He said they did a study on people who just talk normal. And then they did a study, believe this or not, they did a study on people talking in tongues. And you know what happens? You use a different part of your brain. So there is a certain, I'm going to pretend to be a neurosurgeon today, okay? So, when you're talking with your mouth, your brain, it comes from a certain part of your brain, okay? When they studied the tongue talkers, it was a different part of the brain. And for some reason, when you're talking, you're sending out information, right? But when you're talking in tongues, it is proven that you are getting a download from God. God is giving you something. And you have to go watch it. That's all I can tell you. That's the best way I know how to explain it. It is different than saying normal words. When you start talking in tongues, it is totally different. A different part of your brain starts to go, thum, 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 starts moving, and, you know, it's different. You're moving your mouth and saying words, but you're not saying words like you always say words. Does that make sense? And a different part of your brain is doing something. Mr. Doctor, am I heading the right direction here? I'm not a neurosurgeon, but I guess you just have to go watch it, okay? Because your mind does something different when you're praying in the Holy Ghost. It's getting a download. Even though you're saying words out of your mouth, the same part of your brain that says the words is not the same part when you're saying these words. Absolutely amazing. Because that's how God operates, right? When you're praying in the Holy Ghost, God's trying to get you something. He's trying to get, even if you don't know what you're saying, He's trying to get you something. Instead of you saying something because of what you thought up, He's trying to get you something that He thought up. That is like mind-blowing. Words have to be sent. God's word always accomplishes, as we just read, always accomplishes and prospers. It never fails. It always accomplishes, nor brings to poverty, because it always prospers. It never fails nor brings to poverty. God's word doesn't have to practice to win. It always is winning. It overrides everything on the planet. You see, when you think about winning, you always have to think about, well, we got to practice, we got to get better. God's word always wins. It doesn't have to practice. It is established to be successful no matter how or what you do with it. It always works. You don't even have to be saved for it to work for you. The word has to be sent. And when it is sent, it accomplishes what it was sent to do, and it doesn't return void. Which means anything you say out, when it comes back to you, it comes back with prosperity. I heard a preacher say one time, he said, the reason God doesn't tell us everything about our future is because He doesn't want you to screw it up. Because sometimes you say something and you're like, God's like, if I tried to tell Him, He wouldn't listen. He went and said the wrong thing. That's why you got to start out as the usher. You got to start out as the youth pastor. You got to start out as a toilet bowl cleaner. T.D. Jakes will tell you he cleaned toilets too. Sometimes you got to start out right here. Because if God gave you too much, He said you'll just mess it up. Because you'll say the wrong thing. Not knowing, you'll do it unknown to yourself. Ignorantly, you'll do it ignorantly. He said, but if I tell you too much, you'll mess it up. He said, I can't tell you. It's too much for the mind. It's too much for the mind to comprehend. You don't need all this right now. I'm just going to give you a little bit. That's why he told Moses to go to Egypt. He didn't say, hey, I'm going to pour some frogs out, and I'm going to send some grasshoppers there, and I'm going to... God didn't tell him everything he was going to do. He just said, go. Because if he'd have told him everything, Moses would have... He might have ruined it. I don't know. But he'd just give you a little bit here, and a little bit there, and a little bit here, and a little bit there, and then bam, all of a sudden you're there. Chapter 43, verse 18. Oh, this is good. Do not remember the former things or ponder the things of the past. He says, listen carefully. I'm about to do a new thing. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even put a road in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. Verse 18, he says, do not remember the former things. You remember the scripture says, no one puts his hand to the plow and looks back, is fit for the kingdom. You know, put your hand to the plow and you're always looking back. Like, well, like that's what they were doing when they left Egypt. They're like, why did you bring us out here? Let's just go back. At least they fed us there. We didn't have anything to eat out here. He said, any man that puts his hand to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. Does that mean you're not saved? No. It just means that you're not going to be able to do the will of God. You're not going to be able to get to the next level. You're not going to see the harvest because you're always looking back. You can't put your hand to the plow and stop plowing just so you look back. You finish the plowing, then you start the sowing. And then after you sowed, you're going to reap. Now listen to this. This is a revelation I got yesterday. Okay? So in verse 19, he says, I will even put roads in. Let me read the King James. But I will do a new thing now. It shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Okay? So this is a revelation I got. Doing new things means going to new places. Because ways in the wilderness and rivers in the desert means that they were not originally there. They weren't originally there. So if God wants to take you somewhere else, he's going to download, and then he's going to say, go. He said, I'll make a way. But that way wasn't originally there. He says, I'll make a path in the wilderness. I'll put rivers in the desert because they're not there. But when I give you something and I want you to go somewhere, this new thing you're going to do is going to take you to new places. Because why? It's a new path. And it's a new provision of nourishment, which is the water, rivers in the desert. That's nourishment. That's provision. He said, I will give you a new direction to go, and I'll help pay for it. Don't be afraid of doing something new. You got to start somewhere. If praying in the Holy Ghost scares you, just try it. You can't mess it up. Like you can't mess up giving. I don't care if you're giving for the wrong reason. You're still giving. You can't mess up giving. You can't mess up something that you have, you don't know. If God, if you ignorantly try something and you just say, God, I don't understand it, but I'm going to do it. Yes, sir, I understand. I understand that. I'll help you learn as you go. What happens is, we're satisfied with the same results because our flesh says, hey, you've always done this and you've always got the same results. Isn't that fantastic? Yes. Your flesh is like, absolutely. But your spirit is screaming on the inside saying, go for it. Just try it. You got to start somewhere. Luke chapter 5. Daryl, is this a good spot to start going ahead and closing? I said, I'll just skip 1, 2, and 3 and just go straight to 4. But I'm on 3, doing pretty good. Praying for them Cowboys. Luke chapter 5, verse 36. Now watch this. This is where we find out that old ways don't line up with new ways. Religion doesn't line up with the relationship. Religion is man-made. The relationship is spirit-made. Verse 36, this is Jesus, and he spake also a parable unto them. No man puts a piece of a new garment upon an old garment. How many of y'all sew? How many of y'all are good at sewing? I am not a sewer. I cannot sew. I try to put that little thread through that little needle, and I'm like, you know, throw it in the trash. You would never take a new garment and try to attach it to an old one because it would pull away. Am I right? Because new gets along with new, but new don't get along with old. No man puts a piece of new garment upon an old, if otherwise then both the new maketh a rent, and the piece that was taken out of the new agrees not with the old. You notice he said agrees not. He's talking about clothes. He's talking about agreeing. Okay, let's keep going. And no man puts new wine into old bottles, else the new wine will burst the bottles and be spilled, and the bottles shall perish. But new wine, are we talking about real alcohol here? No. He's using wine as a parable to explain how the Spirit, this thing that Jesus is offering, what he's trying to get to us is different than what they've always been told. But new wine must be put into new bottles, and both are preserved. They both survive. They both make it. No man also having drunk old wine straightway desires new, for he saith the old is better. Now we know, since we all have to start somewhere, right? Old ways of doing things, know this, doesn't line up with God's ways of doing things. Watch this. New creatures in Christ shouldn't mingle with old creatures in Satan. Because you a new creature now. You a new ripe tomato. Amen. New wine must be put in new bottles. Okay, now watch this. I had to write this down. This is just revelation I got. You see, man-made wine is better when it's old. We all know that, right? Because the old, you know, you're talking about real wine made by man. We're talking about, you know, wine, alcohol. The older, right, causes it to, what's the word I'm looking for? The maturation process. What is that when fruit? Fermentation. The ferment. The fermentation, as it gets older and older, it gets better and better, you know. Okay? Man-made wine is better when it's old, okay? But the wine that man offers is not the same as the wine offered through Jesus. Therefore, the only way to preserve God's new wine, which is what he gives us, he's always downloading to us, is to put it in a new body. The Bible says you are a new creature. So you have to download new things. That is the only way, I had to write this, to preserve both. When you take the new man and you download new things from Christ, it preserves the spirit and the body. But if you take old things, old ways of doing things, and put them in the new creature, it's possible that you may lose both. Is everybody getting that? It's pretty simple, right? Pretty simple. Jesus is, and it's even more significant right now, guys, even more significant right now, that you learn new things. If you don't understand praying in the Holy Ghost, I understand. I didn't understand it either. Okay? I didn't understand it. But there's only one way to get there. You gotta start somewhere. You don't understand it? Read books about it. You're afraid of it? Don't be. I mean, this is God. I mean, God's not going to slap you. I mean, I know it's around Halloween. God's not going to throw some ghost or some big angel in there and try to scare you. You know, hey, this is how we do things. Start praying in the Holy Ghost. No, it doesn't work that way. If you mingle God's way of doing things with your old way of doing things, you may lose the word and the body. The Bible says that the enemy is always looking to devour the seed. Remember this parable of the seed sower, and you know how the birds came along and plucked up some of the seeds that were thrown. And you know, the enemy is always looking to eat the seed, because the seed is what matters. You don't have an oak tree without an acorn, baby. It don't happen. The acorn is what the enemy goes after. He's looking to devour that, because if he can eat that, there won't be a tree. If he can take something away from you, which is the Word of God, which is what we call the seed, and God's always trying to download the seed to you, it is easy to forget because we're human. You can forget what God told you. It's okay. The good thing is that it never left your man. It just left your mind. You might have forgot it, but it's still in there. That's why I read the whole Bible. I've read the whole Bible through one time. I read it all the way through. And that was a year-long feat. A year long. It took me a year. I may not know what all of it says, but I know that it's in here. And I can go get it anytime I want to. I may not remember, but the Holy Ghost will be like, hey, you remember when it said, no, I don't remember. I don't remember that. What'd that say? Yeah, well, go look it up, you know. He'll be like, look at, you know, Proverbs or Psalms or whatever. You know, God can bring it to remembrance. Why? Because it's already in you. It's right here. He's already downloaded it. Doesn't matter what you read or what translation you read. The fact that you read it was what matters. It's the seed that matters. It's the acorn. The enemy wants to steal that. If he can steal that, he's got you. When God gives you something, or you're reading the Word and you meditate on it, focus on it. Meditate. Think about it. Go about your day thinking about it. Bring it to remembrance. You know, keep bringing it back. Keep bringing it back. Because if you forget it, then the enemy can start whipping you. He starts winning. But if you bring it to remembrance that, hey, I can use my mouth to get or do whatever I want, then he's like, oh, man. Then the enemy starts, and he's like, man, I can't win on that deal, you know. Isn't it amazing how God, it's like I said earlier, the Word does not have to practice to win. It wins because it overrides everything. It overrides everything. There's nothing that it doesn't override. The laws of nature, the laws, every law that's in the planet, the law of light, the law of the blood, the law of giving, it overrides everything. There's nothing that can defeat it. Job chapter 8 as I close. I want to read through this and show you some things. You want to talk about starting over. If ever somebody had to start over, can you imagine being as wealthy as Job was and being so successful and then all of a sudden having nothing but yourself? All you got left is yourself. That's it. Everything else is gone. Everything blown away. Kids destroyed. Their houses destroyed. You know, he loses all the animals. All of it's gone. But God still had Job. And that's all he needed. All God needed was Job. That's all he needed. He didn't need all the stuff. God gave him all that stuff. He didn't need all that stuff. All he needed was Job. Verse 1. Then Bildad the Shuhite answered and said, how long will you say these things? He's listening to Job, and Job's probably talking, you know, talking trash about himself and just blah, 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 and I'm sick and blah, blah, blah. And he's like, how long are you going to keep saying this? And will the words of your mouth be a mighty wind? Verse 3, does God pervert justice? Or does the Almighty pervert righteousness? If your children have sinned against him, then he has handed them over to the power of their transgression and punished them. If you would diligently seek God, that's the start over point. All God needed was verse 5. If you will seek God and implore the compassion and favor of the Almighty, then if you are pure and upright, surely now he will awaken for you and restore your righteous place. Now watch this. though your beginning was insignificant, yet your end will greatly increase. Isn't that wonderful? There's a lot of us that have been through the and like, oh, you know, you got devil hit you in the back, because that's where he likes to hit you, is where you're not looking, right? I can guarantee you that my start wasn't that successful in life. I was dumb, right? Kids always ask me, hey, Coach Byers, you know how to do math? No. Nor do I want to. But then I got revelation the other day, Ricky. Did you know to be successful in real estate, you got to be good at math? I don't ever want to add house X minus house Y equals A squared something. But God told me the other day, quit saying that. If there's anybody good at math, it's God. Amen. Can you imagine creating all that stuff and Albert Einstein is like, yeah, like if we write an X over here and put a line under it and put a Y and a 2 underneath there, it'll get us to the moon. Who knew that? Isn't that amazing? Our brains and what they can do? It is absolutely just, that'll make you want to be a rock star. I'm like, my goodness. Sometimes I wonder, you know, what God's doing with me, you know, in that area, but I'm not Einstein. I'd like to be that smart, but I don't want to get up on the chalkboard like he used to and write all them things with the chalk, try to figure out how to get to the moon. It's not what interests me. I want to know how to rope better, amen? I want to know how to ride a horse better. He says, then if you are pure and upright, surely he will awaken for you and restore you, because your latter end will be better than the beginning. Some of us need our latter ends to be better than the beginning. Amen? Some of us need to be better than where we are. Some of y'all's beginnings are right now. You're like, oh, if you only knew what I'm going through right now. You know what? It don't matter. Because when God's for you, it don't matter who's against you. Amen? It don't matter. It don't matter what's coming against you. It doesn't matter if it's a financial devil or if it's a broke down car devil or your house is falling apart devil. It don't matter. I mean, if God can show Noah how to build an ark, I'm pretty sure he can take care of your stuff. Amen? Amen? And that man didn't have a chainsaw when he was building that ark. I'll tell you that right now. He didn't have a chainsaw. He didn't have fancy manufacturing. He's out there doing this right here for 100-something years, you know. Oh, boy, I hope God's got something planned good for this one. And then if you read verse 8 through 10, he says, please inquire of past generations. He said, they will open their heart to you and they will explain things. So you open your heart and learn. Verse 5, seek, start over, seek the Lord. Verse 5, seek, start over, seek the Lord. Verse 11, he says, can the papyrus grow without a marsh? Can the rushes or reeds, reed grass grow without water? While it is still green and flower and not cut down, yet it withers before any other plant. When it is without water. Now watch this. Verse 13. So are the paths of all who forget God. You ever been? Shoot, boy, I've been there before. Forgot God. He didn't forget me, but I forgot about him for about 10 years, I'll tell you. I can tell you the testimonies, I'm telling you. I forgot about him. Now, I wouldn't say I forgot about him. I knew he was there, but I darn sure didn't care. I was okay with doing my own thing. Verse 14, for his confidence is fragile and breaks, and his trust is like a spider's web. He trusts in his house, but it does not stand. He holds tightly to it. He's talking about the ones who forget God, right? He holds tight to it, but it does not endure. He thrives and prospers like a green plant before the sun, and his branches spread out over his garden. His roots are wrapped around a pile of rocks, and he gazes at a house of stone. If he is snatched from his place in the garden, think about this, then his place will forget him, saying, I have never seen you. Think about that. Now, he's talking about dirt talking to a plant. If you pluck that plant up out of the soil is like, eh, no big deal. We'll see you later. If you pluck it from the dirt says, oh, I don't know who you are. Who are you? Watch this. Verse 19, behold, this is the joy of his way, and from out of the dust others will spring up and grow. We're talking about plants and dirt right here. So even if a plant is plucked, so this is you forgetting about God, and you just got, you know, you just plucked yourself out of the garden, decided to go do your own thing. He said, it doesn't matter. You think God's moved by you leaving or forgetting about him? God does not, he's not moved by that. Not moved at all. He is moved when you decide you want to come back and plant yourself in the right soil, bro. I'll guarantee you that. He says, behold, this is the joy of his way. And from out of the dust, others will spring up and grow to take his place. Behold, God will not reject a man of integrity. If you need to learn a word right now, I tell kids this all the time. If there's a word you need to learn, it's integrity. It's called showing up on time, staying a little longer if you need to, doing the right thing. It's the little things that matter. I'm not going to tell you who I had a conversation with this week. But I had a conversation with one of my little lovelies. And they thought that the little things didn't matter. And I had to remind them that God says, hey, if you can manage the little things, I'll give you authority over many things. So if you're breaking the rules and doing your own little thing and you think, oh, it's no big deal, think again. If you're one of those that steals from your job, you know, even if it's just a little piece of paper, hey, it's just a paperclip, no big deal. I'm here to tell you, that little paperclip's going to make a difference in your future. Somebody at that company had to buy that paperclip. Yeah, you're probably saying, oh, it's only worth like, you know, half of a cent. Doesn't matter. You didn't buy it. The company bought it. The way you handle things that don't belong to you will determine how many or how much prosperity God brings to you. I know that's a tough one to swallow. I know. But the little paper clips matter. The stapler or the paper or, you know, whatever it is. Hey, I've been there. I've done that. I used to think they didn't matter until I found out that they do. When I read the scripture that said, when you manage the little things correctly, when you can manage a dollar correctly, I'll give you 100. When you can learn how to tithe on a dollar or tithe on $100, God says, I'll bring you more $100. And when you learn how to be one of them $1,000 tithers, he says, I'll bring you $10,000. When you learn how to be a tither on $10,000, I'll bring you $100,000. When you learn how to manage $100,000 and tithe on $100,000, I'll bring you $1,000,000. I mean, I want to be one of those guys. Yeah. How do I spell $1,000,000? Absolutely. I know I seem a little sarcastic today, but that's just the way it is, right? I use it at school all the time. It's beneficial. It works. Trust me. I'm not trying to be, well, I don't even know what the word is, boisterous. It's not boisterous. It's another term. I'm just trying to get the point across. Amen? Watch the little paper clips. You're stealing fuel from your company? It matters. Oh, it's just a couple of gallons. I was about to run out anyway. Then you better go tell your boss and give him the money for it. Amen? Verse 19, as I close, behold, this is the joy of his way, and from out of the dust others will spring up and grow to take his place. But God, behold, God will not reject a man of integrity. He takes notice of your integrity. Nor will he strengthen or support evildoers. He will yet fill your mouth with laughter and your lips with joy, joyful shouting, if you are found blameless. Those who hate you will be clothed with shame, and the tents of the wicked will be no longer. Does it matter what other people think about you? Absolutely not. What'd they say? Oh, I don't care. Once I heard Corey say that one time about when Ron talked to him about getting that I don't care attitude, and I'm sure he used some different words, but it doesn't matter. Because when you learn not to care, see, caring and loving and showing love to somebody is not the same as saying, I don't care what evil says about me. You got to get there. You got to get that I don't care attitude. Because God has promised and put it in the Word and says, those who hate you will be clothed with shame. They might not be in shame right now, but I'm here to tell you, one day, shame is going to come upon them. Now, God sometimes lets you see that so you can sit behind the door and laugh, you know. And sometimes He don't let you see it. But you can bet eventually, those who hate you will be put to shame. And their tents, is that what it says? Did I read that correct? He says, and their tent and the tents of the wicked will be no longer. God says He will expand your territories. He will expand your tents. He will expand you. He will expand you. But you're going to have to try new things. Oh, no, that just came out. But the wicked, their tents will be no longer. They won't have a house. They will be put to shame. They will lose everything. They might lose it 10 years from now, or they might lose it when the rapture happens. I don't know. But the Bible says it don't matter what they say. Eventually, they will be put to shame. A man of integrity, God will uphold. Our God, thank God. Thank God. God doesn't say thank God. He says, you know, y'all heard me say it. He says, thank you, me. Thank God, He is a God of righteousness. Because if He wasn't, then that would give Hitler a chance to get to heaven. It would give all the evildoers an opportunity to get there. Thank God He separates us from the wicked. And the wicked eventually will see their demise. They will eventually see their shame. But a man of integrity, God will uphold. If you're not doing the little things right, get a hold of the word integrity. If you show up late to work, show up on time. I don't know how many times I stress that to my kids all the time. They say, because we'd start, you know, practice at whatever time. They'd show up a minute or two later, and then they'd come in running with their backpacks like this, flip-flopping, you know. But you said we had practice at 3:30. You came in a minute late. We don't start talking about practice at 6:30. We start going out the door at 6:30. We start talking about practice 5 minutes before. Showing up on time. I can't tell you how big a deal that is to me. But this is a good revelation. If you want God to show up on time, when you're needing something, you might need to show up on time and have some integrity. God says, you handle your job correctly, I'll show up on time. Everybody's always wanting God. Oh, God ain't talking to me. It don't matter. You don't know. You don't need to know what comes next. Just you know what not to do. Just keep going. You want God to show up on time, you show up on time. You want God to show up, you show up. You go to the prayer room. You spend time with God. You want God to show up, you need to show up. I can't tell you how I fought that for years and trying to figure out how I was supposed to do that. For everybody it's different. I'm not preaching condemnation on anybody. However you do it is how you do it. You need to put on your God shoes and figure out how He wants you to do that. Okay? Don't try to figure it all out. You got to start somewhere. You just got to go in there and sit for 10 minutes. Just go in there and sit. I'm not telling you to read the Word. I'm not going to tell you to sit there and pray for, you know, 10 minutes and say all that. You have a list of things to say. You don't need a list of things to say. The Holy Ghost will tell you what to say. He'll tell you what to pray for. Just get there. Be there. Just be there. And He will uphold you if you have integrity. Amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed. If you don't know who God is today, you didn't know who Jesus was when you came in. At the end of every service, we have an opportunity, give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So if you don't know who He is, when we pray this prayer, I want you to get serious with God. And I want you to pray this prayer with integrity and mean what you say. I know there's not a lot of visitors here today, but if, you know, maybe you've been going here for a long time. Maybe you've never settled it with God. Maybe you've never, you know, got serious with God and said, I receive Jesus. You know, I truly believe He is my Savior. You'd be surprised how many times that's happened here. But if you don't know God, I want you to get serious with Him right now. And we're all going to pray a prayer with you. And we believe if you pray this prayer and you mean what you say, you get serious with God. I believe that if you pray this prayer and mean what you say, because there's a heaven and there's a hell. You're going to one of those places. There is no alternative. It's not a menu of, hey, I'd rather go here or I'd rather go there. There's one menu and it says up or down, heaven or hell. So if you're not saved, I want you to pray this prayer with me, and I want you to pray it like this. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe you, Jesus, died on the cross and arose again on the third day. And I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you prayed that prayer and you meant what you said, there's nobody looking around. If you prayed that prayer and meant what you said, you prayed that prayer for the very first time and received Jesus for the very first time, I want you to raise your hand on the count of three. And by raising your hand, you're saying, that was me. I prayed the prayer. I meant what I said. I got serious with God today. I received Him as my Lord and Savior. If that's you, on the count of three, ready, one, two, three, go. Is there anybody? Anybody? All right, well, look at me. Hallelujah. All right, so you're all saved. Good. Let's get after it now. Amen. Let's get after it.